Luke chapter 2, and let's begin reading with verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And we'll end our reading there this morning. I'd like to draw your attention to the 14th verse of the second chapter of Luke. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Let's have a word of prayer to ask the Lord's blessing. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Word of God. We thank Thee, Lord, that we do not come merely to a book, but we encounter God in this book. And we pray this morning that we would see something of Christ in this text. Father, who is sufficient for these things? Thou art our sufficiency. So, Lord, speak to us from the Word of God this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Once again, the 14th verse says, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. Well, today, as just about every American in all over this country knows, it's the day that is set aside to be Christmas Eve. Well, what is being remembered by this time called Christmas? Christmas is not anything ordained in the Word of God. We don't find a verse, Thou shalt celebrate Christmas on such and such a day. It's permissible. But what is being remembered on this day? It is the fact that God became a man, born to die to save sinners. God became a man. And all over this world, we see things depicting Christ in a manger. We hear songs. But hardly anybody recognizes that God is literally indwelling that baby. God became a man. We understand that there are three persons in the Trinity. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Each one of them are co-equal with one another, co-eternal with one another. It is one God in three persons. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. The Spirit is not the Father or the Son. But they are all God. They all have the same nature. They're all God. And the Bible teaches that the Father sent the Son to the earth, and that God the Son became a baby in a manger through a virgin birth. Now, when we say that God the Son became a baby, we do not mean that He ceased being God. We do not mean that He changed from being the Son of God to becoming a human being and ceased being God. But this baby in a manger was God the Son taking unto himself a human nature, so that the Son of God became man. It is a God-man that we're dealing with. 100% God, 100% man. Very God of very God, yet a real body, a true body, and a real soul. This is the God-man. And isn't it amazing to think that the infinite God, as Charles Wesley would write, contracted to a span, incomprehensibly made man. That the God of heaven would become a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. And it begs a question this morning. Why would God do this? Why would the infinite and eternal God become a babe in a manger? Why would he? Why did God become a babe in a manger? We need to answer this question this morning. If you're not a Christian, if you're lost, if you don't know the answer to that question, you can't be saved. Christ is the only Savior. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. But if you're a believer this morning, it is also extremely important that you understand the answer to this question. Because the answer to this question is really the gospel. And the Bible says here in Luke chapter 2 that angels came to shepherds that were shepherding a flock by night, and the angels came and they told them, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." This message of a babe in swaddling clothes caused the angels to have great joy. I want every one of you to have great joy in these next couple of days, in your homes, in your families, personally. I want you to know great joy. Is it not amazing that the angels for whom Christ did not come had great joy? And joy is found in understanding why God became a man. And I submit to you that in the 14th verse, we find the answer to that question. The Bible says that there's a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God in the skies. And they sing a hymn with three stanzas. And the hymn goes like this: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And in that short little hymn, that one verse is the answer to the question why God became a man. This verse deals with two directions: a Godward direction and a manward direction. For God, glory. For man, good. For God, glory. The Bible says, "Glory to God in the highest." You see, the highest is the highest realm of heaven. The angels were praising God, but the angels were speaking of a realm that is higher than even the angelic realm, a realm the highest of heaven, where God dwells in all the glory of His person. And the angels were saying, what happened today, this event right now, this babe born in a manger, brings glory to God in the very highest of heaven. It brings glory to God in a way that perhaps had never been done in all of history in the human race up to this point in time. You see, the glory of God was the primary reason why God became a man. Was it for us? Certainly it was. But it was for Himself, for His own glory. And you see, the glory of God is the great aim of all of history. The reason why God created the earth, the reason why He made the stars and the sky. What does the psalmist say in Psalm 19? The heavens declare the glory of God. Why did God do all that he's done in creating man and permitting him to fall? That he might be glorified. What do we mean by the glory of God? The glory of God is making the person of God known in all of his beauty and majesty. We understand from reading the Bible that God is holy, God is eternal, God is love, God is merciful, all these things that people call attributes of God, things that we know about God. And the glory of God is when those things are known, and it is a beautiful, majestic thing to see God for who he is. And that is glory. But our text says glory to God. Not the glory of God, but the glory to God. You see, when the glory of God is made known, then men bring glory, give glory, his creatures, to God. And that's God's great end. You see, the Lord made man. He made man in his image. Why did he do that? Well, he made man to be created that he would find his satisfaction, his fulfillment in God, in worshiping and glorifying and knowing God. This is an amazing verse in Isaiah. The Bible says, "Even everyone that is called by my name, I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." God has created you. Your purpose is to bring glory to God. And the way that happens is when humans see God for who he is, when he unveils himself, when he displays something about himself, his creatures who were created to be satisfied in him, to worship him, respond with wonder, love, and praise. And this is the great end of history, that God would make creatures like you and me, to which he could display all that he is, so that we now and in all eternity might dwell with God in wonder, love, and praise. That's what worship is. Seeing him for who he is. Glory being brought to God. Every star in the sky says, "The one who made me is far more beautiful than I." The seas with all their depth, they scream to us, "The one who made me is deeper and vaster than I." The mountains, peaks that reach above the clouds say, "There's someone who made me that's more majestic than I." But nothing, perhaps, in all of history has revealed who God is like when God became a man to die for sinners. And the purpose that God did this was for his own glory above everything else. And my friends, this is and should be our great desire as believers. It is our desire, the new man that lives within us. But sometimes, if you're like me, we don't act according to the new man that lives within us. And we don't live our lives for God's glory. You know, every sin begins with a lie. And the lie that we believe is that we really aren't going to be satisfied in God, in Christ, in glorifying him, in worshiping him. But we'll be satisfied in all these other things. But that's not true. We have been created for the purpose of glorifying God. And not one human being under the sound of my voice will ever be fully fulfilled or satisfied until they get to glory and they have no sin and they're in the presence of the blazing, burning glory of Christ. Amen. And in his face, as the psalmist says, I shall be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Whom have I in heaven but thee? There's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is my strength and the portion of my portion forever. Everything else fails. I think of what we mentioned today, the Fosters that have lost their mother. She is in the blazing glory of Jesus today. But you see, a mother fails. And sometimes Christmas can be one of the hardest times for people, because it's a time of loss or it's a time of grieving. It brings back memories. People have this. It's very normal. But it just serves to remind us that we will never be fully satisfied until we awake with His likeness. Amen. Brethren, this life is a life of suffering. We suffer. But we find great joy in Jesus Christ. Amen. And our joy will be full one day. So God became a man so that He might receive glory. No glory belongs to anyone else today for salvation. God had designed everything in a way that only He would receive glory. And this is why those who are lost misunderstand the gospel. They think some boast, some glory goes to them for some work that they have to perform. But all glory belongs to God. God came down as a man. He did this work that all glory might be brought to Him. God became a man for His own glory. But God also became a man for the good of men. The Bible says, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Goodwill toward men is speaking of God's love toward men. The word goodwill could be translated love. On earth peace and love toward men. What is being meant is that because God loved men, He desired to bring peace on earth. Peace between God and man, and ultimately peace throughout all of creation, because God loved man. And remember, whatever He does in this work of saving sinners is for His glory, and perhaps is the greatest revelation of His glory that has ever been made known. And so whatever we are about to see and understand about this babe in a manger, we are seeing something of who God is. We're seeing something of who Christ is. And we are to be so overwhelmed with wonder and love and praise that we are to bring glory to God, even this day as we meditate on this. And He did it for the good of men. What did God do? Well, God did all that He did because He loved man. We have to begin there. We have to understand that first. Here is mankind. Mankind is wicked. Mankind is vile. Mankind is evil. Everything about man, everything about them, makes God's wrath boil. Because we are sinful from head to toe. The Bible says that there is not one righteous. There's not one that does any good. There's not one that seeks after God. We're all unprofitable. But the Bible says that God loved man. You think today of the wickedness that is going on. We've instituted in our land laws that make something that is an abomination in the Word of God. Something that is acceptable and even celebrated. Think of the evil that happened at the Holocaust. Think of the evils that have taken place. Go visit a prison sometime. You know, go visit some place where young people, juvenile delinquents are. Go see what kind of evil has been wrought. The most perverted, vile things you could ever imagine. But what about you and me? You know what you are this morning. You know what you've done. You know the lust that has overwhelmed your heart and the sin that you've fallen to. You know how you've been selfish time and time again. You've not loved God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body, and strength. You've not been thankful for the air you breathe and the food you eat. You've been blind to the glory of Christ and run after every other thing to get glory. You see, you're evil this morning. The Bible says that you're evil. If he, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask them? We're evil human beings. And that's the message of the gospel. It's not there's pretty good people that just fail, that Christ came to help. It's people that are totally bankrupt and totally wicked that God came to save. And that's what we are. We all know it. Every one of us. We might look good on the outside, but we know in the quiet of our own lives, maybe when the door is shut and the room is dark, computer screen before us or something like that, and we fall into sin. The people of this world may smile and act nice and have nice cars and nice homes, but they're vile inside. Jesus said, whited sepulchres. You know what's in a sepulcher? Dead men's bones. And yet the Bible says that God loved man. Love toward man. Goodwill toward men. Isn't that amazing? But God commended, he showed, he displayed his what? Love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to get better. He didn't say, look, you clean yourself up a little bit. You turn over a new leaf and I'll tell you what. I might give you a chance. God said, I'll take you broken and vile and wretched and your sin and your filth and all that you are. I love you in all of your sin. And us this morning who know that we're saved and know we stand with Christ, this needs to become personal to us. God loved you. Don't think about the church, even the world. You in your pew this morning, with all your failure, with all your sin, with all that you are, God loved you. You who only live for a short span of time, whose body is falling apart, who's not worthy of anything, just a blip on the whole of the line of history. And yet this morning, God loves you. Is it personal to you? To what lengths would God go to bring peace between man and himself? What a God we have that he wanted to bring peace between him and sinful man. Peace on earth. To what lengths would he go? What would God do to show his love, to show who he is, to show his glory? What lengths would he go to save you? To what lengths would he go to save me? The Bible says that God became a man. And God became a man because there's no other way that God could reconcile man with himself. Man is at enmity, which means man is an enemy of God. The Bible says that man in the garden fell in Adam. They're guilty of sin. Their hearts and their natures are corrupt. Right now, this very moment, there's no peace between God and most of the world. But what did God do? He became a man. Why? Because somebody had to die in the place of sinful men. We spoke this morning about it. There was a covenant made between God and the first man. The first man sinned and broke that covenant. So the guilt of that broken covenant fell upon him and every single person that was under it came out of his loins. Every one of them was guilty. Truly guilty and deserving of hell. But a second man came. And that man had to be a special man, didn't he? You see, this man had to be a man without sin because he could not be liable to any punishment if he was to take others' punishment. You see, he had to be a man that was absolutely perfect so that he could fulfill and keep the broken law in the place of his people that failed that. This man had to be a special man. He had to be a man born of a virgin, because he could not bear the guilt of Adam's sin, nor the nature of fallen man. This man had to be a special man. He had to be a man that could die and take the wrath of a holy God and yet not be sunk down into hell for all eternity. But a man who could rise up from the dead and be the risen Lord and reinstate fallen man in the rightful place with God. That man had to be a special man. What man is this? What man could do that? What man could take man's sin upon him and yet not be a sinner? What man could suffer the wrath of the everlasting God and yet rise from the dead victorious over death, hell, and the grave? I tell you this morning, it's none other than Jesus. Jesus Christ is that man. And that is why God became a man. Because there is no other way to save sinful man. And we bless God that that baby in a manger, please listen, if you ever doubt the love of God, that baby in a manger to the cross is God's proof that He loved you. Do you see Him laying there? Do you see Him, a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes? Jesus never knew anything but praise and glory in heaven. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, never knew anything but the heavenly host praising Him. But He came down to earth to be spat upon and mocked by men. Jesus Christ in heaven, the Son of God, He had all power and never knew one day when any of His power was quenched in any way, shape, or form. But He humbled Himself and withheld Himself from exercising His power and put Himself in the body of an infant. An infant. And He laid on the breast of His mother Mary, who was a sinner like you and me, and was fed by a sinful woman, being born in a manger with farm animals. We have no comprehension of what that is. That the eternal, holy Son of the living God, oh, if we could get a sight of Jesus in all His glory, we would fall on our knees, as the song, O Holy Night, says. When we think about the fact that God the Son became a man, became a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, crying, hungry, living on this earth. And oh, the question we ask, why, God, did You do this? It's because He loved us. He loved you. The Father loved you, believers, so much that He was almost willing to part with His own Son that He would have you. The Son loved you so much that it was nothing for Him to become a baby. Nothing for Him to be crucified. Just that He might have you. Just that He might have you. And maybe this morning, someone in here has doubted the love of God. Look, when you look at everything in life and sometimes things don't make sense and you just don't see how it looks like God loves you or cares about you, go back to the cross, go back to the cradle and look there in the face of that baby and see God become a baby born to die to take away your sin. And you can know without the shadow of a doubt that God is good. And that God is love. And that everything in your experience that sometimes doesn't match up with your creed, let everything in your experience that you see fall to pieces in the sight of that loving Christ in the manger. We do not understand what God is doing in our lives, but we know without a shadow of a doubt the nature and character of God when we look at that baby in a manger. And you see, friends, it even goes beyond that to where God came not only merely to forgive us of our sins, but we must understand peace on earth means reconciliation with Him. He saved us for Himself. And this goes all the way back to the first thing I said, glory to God in the highest. What is God doing? He has taken a mankind that is alienated from Him, that has been created to glorify Him and find their satisfaction and fulfillment in God alone. And now He has come down as a man, bringing glory to Himself, showing all mankind of His mercy, His humility, His love, His holiness, His justice, and that He would punish man in Jesus Christ and then justify him. All of that revealing His glory. And then He would bring man back to Himself. He would put God back in the man. The Holy Ghost would dwell in man. He would have a new nature. And when man would die and he passed through the door of death, he would open up his eyes in the full presence of Jesus Christ. And now man is brought back to God because of what God has done. And man is brought back into the presence of God. And for all of eternity, man will be absolutely taken up with the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that is our hope. And that's why God became a man. To bring man back to God. To reconcile fallen man to a holy, wise, loving, glorious God. You see, it is not death to die, to leave this weary road and soar beyond the skies with God. It's not death to die. Praise God. Listen, please. When you die, you will awake in the presence of God. Isn't it wonderful? It's not death to die. Let's look death in the face and say, where's your sting, death? Where's your victory, grave? The strength of death is what? Sin. Well, sin's been done away. The law has been fulfilled. God became a man. He loves me with an everlasting love. I can't do anything to get outside of His hand. I can't do anything to get out of Christ. It's completed. It's finished. God did the work. And when I die, I will be with Jesus. I will be with God for all of eternity. Praise be to God. Won't it be a wonderful time when we see the Lord Jesus in the fullness of all His glory? Well, this is why God became a man. That He might bring glory to Himself and that He might bring good to man. And our prayer is even today, as we sing songs today, as we think about the Lord, as we fellowship with one another, that we would have some sight of the glory of God, because that is what truly brings joy. See, when you understand what God has done because of His great love, that's what brings us joy. It's not our circumstances this Christmas time. It's Christ. It's what He's done and who He is. So I pray that God would give us all great joy for this great news of a wonderful Savior. Let's end this morning with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank Thee this morning for the unbelievable, Lord, news that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save us and to save me. We thank Thee, Lord, that no matter what happens today or in our lives, that we are safe in Christ. Oh Lord, how we long for that day when we'll see Jesus in all of His glory. How we long for that day, Lord, when we will be with You forever and ever and ever. Lord, we praise Thee today for Mrs. Foster, who's passed into glory. We thank You, Lord, that that prayer of Christ was answered, that they might be with me where I am and might behold my glory. And, oh Lord, we thank Thee that we are being ushered to the throne of Jesus even now, that we will one day behold Thee in all Thy beauty and majesty. And our prayer, Lord, is that today Thou wilt show us something, some sight of who You are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.